I wonder if you've ever crossed a line that you wish you hadn't. And if you've ever crossed a line you wish you hadn't, I've got a video clip, hopefully. Well, that worked brilliantly. In case you couldn't hear or see that, that was a clip from Friends. Who likes Friends? Some of you like Friends. If you remember, that's one of my the line that Chandler, that Joey says there. You can't even see the line. The line is a dot to you. That is one of my favourite lines from Friends. Don't know why, it just rang a chord with me. Perhaps in the heat of an argument, you've said something that you later regret. You've crossed a line. Perhaps you've been teasing someone and you've crossed over that line where actually you've hurt them. Maybe there are other lines you've crossed in relationships, perhaps, or at work. From the age of probably about 2, I think, we excel at pushing boundaries, don't we? One of Jess's siblings was told not to cross a line once, and so what she did was she went right up to the line with her foot like that, just not quite over the line. That's what we do, isn't it, as people? We go right up to the line often and we push those boundaries. And in Jesus' day, the people who were most concerned with not crossing lines were the Pharisees. And one of the lines they were most concerned about not crossing was to do with the Sabbath. That word, Sabbath or Shabbat in Hebrew, means rest. But it's not just rest, doing nothing. It's actually about stopping doing something, if that makes sense. It's about ceasing as much as it is about resting. Because you see, when the Bible describes how God created the world, perhaps we could have a look at the next slide, please. No? See, I tried to do a PowerPoint. Oh, that's the one. There we go. Shall I see if the clicker works yet? Yes. Okay, I can use the clicker now. Perfect. In Genesis 2, verse 3, it says, "Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." And I'm sure that before Steve read them, you could have quoted all the Ten Commandments to me in order. Yeah? No? Maybe not. The fourth commandment, in case you're not sure what that is, I've sort of summarised it there. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The key word there is holy. God made the seventh day holy because on it he rested. God rested. He ceased. He stopped. He rested. Sounding a bit like a Monty Python sketch now. It ceased to be. He was an ex-worker on that day. And then he commanded his people to remember it by keeping it holy. And this pattern of working and then resting on the seventh day is built right into the fabric of the world. It's built right into what it means to be human. Remember where those verses came. The first one, God rested. It was Genesis chapter 2. It's about 40 verses into the Bible. It's really important. I don't know if any of you like making lists. You like making lists? Some of you do. Often men like to make top 5 or top 10 lists. I guess some girls do too, but it seems to me it's the thing that mostly guys do, like top 10 movies, top 10 songs. Well, God's top 10 commandments included this one about the Sabbath. That is how important it is. There are, I think it's 613 commands in the Old Testament, in the law. And out of those, God chose the top 10, and number 4 is this one. And so we come to the Pharisees. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus and his disciples are wandering about as they did, and they're going through some cornfields. Presumably other people were there with them too, because the Pharisees got cross with the disciples because of what they saw the disciples doing. The disciples were plucking ears of corn and they were eating them. Do you like corn on the cob?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? That's how I like to eat my corn on the cob. It's hot. You can't tell it's hot. It's not cold. It's hot. It's been steamed nicely and it's got some lovely melting butter on it. That is how I like to eat my corn on the cob. That's what we call it. No wonder the disciples were helping themselves. But the Pharisees weren't happy because the disciples were breaking the Sabbath. Except the keen-eared among you will have noticed that when I read that commandment about the Sabbath from the Ten Commandments, it didn't say anything about corn on the cob. At least I didn't see that bit, did you? No? It didn't say anything about fields. And see, what's going on here is that on top of the fourth commandment, the Pharisees built a whole load of other regulations. In fact, there were 39. So you see, what they were doing was, they were saying, right, so God drew a line here about the Sabbath. And they weren't to cross that line. But to help you, we're going to draw a line here. And a line here. And a line here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here. 39 times, until you were so far away from the line was a dot to you. See what I did there? Yeah? They did it to help people to start with. Because people would say, okay, so God says don't work on the Sabbath. What does that mean? What can I do and what can't I do? So they started to come up with some helpful guidelines. But the problem was, those became rules. And you were punished for breaking them, as if you'd broken the line that was so far away you couldn't even see it anymore. And one of those 39 rules, in fact the third one, was about reaping. Because you see, in those days, a lot of people were farmers. So their work was farming, was reaping. So actually, for them, to take a Sabbath rest would be to not reap. But the disciples weren't farmers. They were fishermen. So they weren't working. You see how the rules grew. And Jesus' answer to the Pharisees asks them to remember another part of the Bible. In 1 Samuel. Where David, King David, before he was the king, and his companions were hungry and they had no food. And so what they did was they went into the temple and there was the only food that was available there. I've got a sort of rendering there. They look a bit like dinner plates. Was the bread of the presence. The bread of the presence was baked for every single Sabbath. And there were 12 of them to stand for the 12 tribes. And it was only for the priests to eat this special bread. And David ate it. And he gave some to his companions too, Jesus says. But you see, the thing is, interestingly, David didn't take it. He was given it. He was given it by the priest. He didn't steal it. He didn't sneak in when the priest wasn't looking. He spoke to the priest. He explained the situation and the priest gave him the bread to eat. You see, that priest knew what Jesus was trying to tell the Pharisees. Which is that the law is about more than what lines you can't cross. The law is about more than what lines you can't cross. It's actually also to give life. To meet human needs. Now that same question about the Sabbath comes up again at the beginning of chapter 3. Jesus was in a synagogue and there was a man with a shriveled hand there. And if you notice, we're already talking about Jesus' enemies. We're on week 4 of our series looking at Mark's Gospel. It's going to take us about 45 weeks to get through the whole of Mark's Gospel, spread over a couple of years. But already, Jesus has enemies. Already, there are people, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They'd already had enough of him. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus was more concerned to save life and to do good than to follow arbitrary human rules. When he challenged those rules, effectively showing them to be evil, because those rules were stopping people from doing good. When he challenged them, what did they say? Actually, they remained silent because they realized that they didn't have a leg to stand on. Jesus was angry. He doesn't often get angry in the Bible, Jesus, but this is one of those occasions when he gets angry and distressed. He was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And so he commanded the man whose hand was withered to stretch it out. And as the man did so, it was completely, completely restored. Newton's law of Sunday. A body at rest on a Sunday will remain at rest until the wife gives it something to do. Joke for all the physicists out there. What are we to make of all this? You see, for most of us, I suspect that Sunday is our day of rest. Or it should be, anyway. We'll come to that in a minute. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, for example, my Sabbath day, it ain't Sunday. At the moment, my day off is Wednesday. It's moved because there are other things that were cutting across, so I've moved it to Wednesday. Although this week it's back on Friday. But I do, whether it's Wednesday or Friday or Tuesday or Thursday, I do take my day off almost every week. I think since I was ordained, I've missed 3 days off. Because it's really important to rest from our work. So should we work on Sunday? Should we go shopping on a Sunday? Should we go to restaurants on a Sunday, both of which require other people to be working? Should we stay at home all day? If we do stay at home all day, should we mow the lawn? Should we put the washing in? Should we do the vacuuming? Is Sunday simply another day of the week for us? No different to all the other 6, except that in the middle you go to church. I wonder if you've ever asked yourselves those questions. And whether you've thought, I don't know, it's too hard, I'm going to do what I want anyway. That tends to be what human beings do when we don't know the answer to something. I'm not sure, I'll just carry on regardless. And I suspect that most of us don't think about this probably as much as we should. Perhaps we hear Jesus' words in the gospel and think it doesn't matter what we do on a Sunday. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Great! We can do what we like. Right? Wrong. Jesus was not doing away with the 4th of the 10 commandments when he said that. That's not what he was doing. What he was doing was correcting the way it had been abused by the religious authorities. You see, Jesus was telling them that God gave the Sabbath to men and women as a gift. As a gift. And they were taking that gift and making it a burden. You see, God knew that life is full, even before emails and smartphones and to-do lists and to-do apps and calendars and shopping lists and post-it notes. People have been busy. People have always said, I can never find the time. Well, you see, the antidote to being too busy, the antidote to never having enough time, which, by the way, you do, the antidote to feeling rushed, the antidote to feeling like your life is too full, is the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. You see, God knows what life is like. And he gave us this wonderful gift for a reason, because he knows that we need this to keep our sanity. We need it. This wonderful gift is permission. In fact, it's more than a permission, it's a command to take some time off. Not once every 2 or 3 months when you go on holiday, but every single week to take some time off. Now, sometimes when I say this to people, they go, oh, you have no idea what my life is like. It is impossible for me to take any time off. If that's your reaction, then perhaps you need to know you're not being encouraged to do this by an idealistic and unrealistic young vicar, although you are. You're also being encouraged, nay, commanded to do this by God. Not me. And he does know what it's like. Whether you're a mum, whether you've got three jobs like Steve, or whatever you do in your daily life, if you're retired, I don't know. All of us are commanded to take some Sabbath time every week. And that's not just 5 minutes a day. It is a day a week. So what does it mean to keep Sunday special? Can't really see those words. It says busy. I don't have time to be busy. Some questions that I asked earlier. I'm not actually going to answer any of those questions for you this morning. Sorry. But if you'd like to talk about them with anyone, then please grab someone. You can talk to me if you want, but there are other people in this church. Ask them what they do. Do you shop on a Sunday? Do you go to the restaurants on a Sunday? I know we do. What do you do? Should I watch TV or spend the whole day reading the Bible? I'm a vicar. Of course the answer is yes. I'm not going to answer any of those questions for you, because to do that would be to do exactly what the Pharisees did. It would be to start drawing some lines along here till you're so far away from that line that it's a dot to you. And I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to ask you two questions. Or rather, I'm going to give you two questions for you to ask yourselves. Do I have a weekly day of rest? That's where you start. And if I do, is that day holy? You see, that's what God commanded us to do. He said to make it holy. And that might look slightly different for different people. And it may be that Sunday isn't your Sabbath day. Perhaps if you're a church warden, it's not a very good day to be a Sabbath day. Just as much as if you're a vicar, because they're here as much as I am on a Sunday, sometimes more. I don't know. See, that word holy means set apart for God. It doesn't mean perfect. That's a different thing. Holy means set apart. Now, of course, every day belongs to God. Every day we're called to worship God and serve him. But there's something special about our Sabbath day where we should set aside time, particularly for God. Which is why I think for most of us, Sunday is quite a good day to do that, because you get people standing at the front doing stuff to try and help you to focus on God. If it doesn't help you focus on God, please tell me. Tell Ray and Sue, tell Mark, because we need to know, because that's what this is for. It's to help you focus on God. Almost like a sort of reboot to inspire you and help you for the week ahead, because we know it's hard as well. Holy means set apart for God. Do you set aside time to say thank you to God for the things he's given you? You may not be able to say thank you for everything in your life. In fact, you probably can't, because none of us is perfect and none of our lives is perfect. But we all do have things for which we can say thank you to God. Do you do that? Or do you run around like a headless chicken? Like those puppets? Although they're not, yeah. Do you make time? Do you spend time? Do you give time back to God? Because that's what Sabbath is all about. God, in his generosity, gave us 6 days to do whatever work we do. He asks for one day for us to give back to him. If you don't have any peace and quiet in your life, maybe a Sabbath is a good time for that. See, I have a confession to make. Although I take my day off every week,
he said, looking at Jess,
I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at what I do on my Sabbath day. And this week, I sort of moped around the house most of the day. In the middle of it, I mowed the lawn and felt sorry for myself. I was in a right mood by the time Jess got home. Wasn't I, dear? Yes? She's keeping tactfully quiet there. It's something that I have to work on too. It's something we all have to work on. But I encourage you to ask these questions. Because unless you ask these questions, you'll never find that Sabbath time. Because it's not going to just happen. You have to make it happen. That's why Jesus, God, commanded us to keep the Sabbath holy, because it's not something that comes naturally to us. Do you have a weekly day of rest? And is that day holy? See, if it's good enough for God to take a day off every week, it's jolly well good enough for you too. Amen.